Welcome to The Inquiry from the BBC World Service, with me, David Baker. Each week, one question, four expert witnesses, and an answer. It's the 19th of January, 2025, the day before Donald Trump's second inauguration, and the popular video sharing app TikTok has just gone dark for its 170 million US users.
Good morning, Gio. Millions of Americans are waking up this morning to a TikTok app where you can't scroll or post. Instead, all you see is a message that it's unavailable. TikTok.
This is because of a political standoff that began more than 9 months before. In April 2024, the US Congress passed a law giving ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese owner, a choice. Sell its US operations to an American buyer or face a ban. The law passed with rare bipartisan support over concerns about Chinese influence and data security. ByteDance failed to meet the US demands, and the app went offline. But one day later, it was back up and running. On his first day in office, Donald Trump had signed an executive order delaying enforcement for 75 days. And since then, he's extended that deadline twice more, with the latest extension due to end on September the 17th. And now he's talking about delaying things even further.
In the meantime, until the complexity of things work out, we just extend a little bit longer. But we have buyers, we have very substantial American buyers that want to buy it.
The problem is that it's not at all certain that China will play ball. So this week on The Inquiry, we're asking, is time up for TikTok in the US?
Part 1. The Congress TikTok Challenge.
The law is called the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act, which has the very ungainly acronym of PFACA.
Our first witness is Alan Rosenstein, an associate professor of law at the University of Minnesota in the US, who previously worked on cybersecurity and export control policy issues for the US Department of Justice.
So this is a law that requires ByteDance, which is TikTok's Chinese owner, to either divest its stake of TikTok, or if it does not do so, that TikTok will no longer be lawfully permitted to operate in the United States, and specifically that U.S. providers like Oracle, which provides TikTok's cloud hosting, and Apple and Google, which host the TikTok app on their app stores, would no longer be permitted under some pretty hefty financial penalties of doing business with TikTok.
Why did Congress pass this law? What were the motivations behind it?
There were two national security concerns regarding TikTok being owned by a Chinese entity and therefore being potentially controllable by the Chinese government. One was a data privacy concern. And this is the idea that TikTok has almost 170 million American users. It, like all social media platforms, collects an enormous amount of data on those users, in particular where they're located and what sort of content that they consume. And that data poses a potentially very severe counterintelligence threat if it could be used by a foreign adversary like the Chinese government. And then the second concern is what we might call a misinformation or a propaganda concern. And that's the concern that the TikTok algorithm, which really drives almost the entirety of the content that TikTok users see, if that, again, is controlled by the Chinese government, that could be weaponized against American interests.
That second concern, he says, recognizes the degree to which TikTok has become part of America's information ecosystem.
For a lot of Americans, especially young Americans, it's increasingly their main source of news. And so the concern there, again, is that China could manipulate the information environment in a way that is very adverse to America's interests.
Before President Trump announced his extensions, it did look like TikTok had run out of time in the US. But since then, the law obligating ByteDance to sell has been dependent, like so much in US politics at the moment, on the whim of the president. A situation that Alan says is not at all constitutional.
I really want to emphasize this. The law remains in force. The president does not have the power to cancel a law or postpone a law. All he can do is say publicly that he will not enforce it. And enforcing the law would be quite trivial. The Trump administration would simply have to email 4 U.S. companies, and those companies would immediately turn off TikTok. So this is an example of the Trump administration simply deciding that it is above the law and that it does not want to implement a law because it doesn't like it.
But whatever the internal debates in the U.S. about whether or not President Trump has the right to do this, the future of TikTok may be less in his hands than he imagines. It's Beijing, says Alan, that will decide what happens next, especially when it comes to TikTok's algorithm, the brains behind the app that decides what videos to feed us.
And what he said publicly is that he wants to negotiate a deal by which ByteDance will sell TikTok to a U.S. buyer. There's no shortage of U.S. buyers. There's no shortage of entities that will happily pay however much money it takes to buy TikTok. The problem is that the Chinese government will not allow ByteDance to sell TikTok, and specifically, it will not allow ByteDance to sell the algorithm. And I just don't see a reason why divesting would be in China's interest for precisely the reasons that motivated Congress to enact the law in the first place. Having TikTok in the United States is a source of real national security advantage for China. So why would they divest unless they get something extreme in return? And so I would imagine that they're going to be using this for all it's worth in negotiations.
And those negotiations are going to be watched carefully by other countries in the world, many of whose citizens are also keen TikTok users.
Part 2. The Worldwide Feed.
TikTok stands out among social media platforms. Not only does it have a different feel to apps such as X and Instagram, it's also grown much faster than them.
TikTok has over a billion active monthly users. The numbers are extraordinary, particularly considering how young that app is, how young the platform is compared to the US social media platforms that had a decade or more to gather their user bases.
Our second witness is Joanne Gray, senior lecturer at the University of Sydney in Australia, specializing in digital cultures.
Its origins lie in China, unlike this US social media platforms that have dominated for a very long time. And secondly, it is functionally quite different. It's less of a social network and it's more basically a video recommendation feed. You don't go on there and connect with your friends. You go on there and watch videos that the platform thinks you will enjoy. TikTok is widely used throughout the world, and it is also widely used across demographics. So there's a fairly even spread of gender. It's also used by people of all ages, from teenagers right up to people 60 years and plus. And that's because the platform allows different people to have a personalized feed that is relevant to them, regardless of their age.
It has achieved this, says Joanne, thanks to that algorithm we heard about from our first witness.
So the algorithm is constantly testing us, serving us new videos, gauging our reaction, how we interact with it. But it really has managed to target individuals with personalized videos that they all seem to enjoy.
And that has attracted a lot of advertisers to the platform, creating a strong income stream for its parent company, ByteDance. This year, TikTok's ad revenue is expected to hit $33 billion, a 40% increase from 2024.
Digital ads on TikTok, by some reports, are more well received than on other platforms. So it's made it a very popular place for businesses globally to try and connect and advertise to potential customers.
And it also hosts a thriving TikTok economy of small businesses directly selling their goods and services on the platform. TikTok itself estimates that that reflects about $15 billion of sales for small businesses in the US alone.
TikTok is used by a range of businesses to connect to potential markets and people that it might not have had access to before, because you're not required to know who's out there or have connected to a market. You put your content out and the algorithm decides who it might be of interest to.
And of course, there are the TikTok influencers.
because of the loyal and active user base, there are also a lot of content creators that are developing careers, selling products, and promoting different businesses on the platform themselves outside of the advertising market.
And all of that, she says, will be lost if TikTok closes down in the US.
It'll be hugely disruptive for a huge number of people in the US. It'll be immediately cutting off a key revenue and their livelihoods.
TikTok's rise and the way a Chinese company has been siphoning up advertising revenue has of course been met by alarm by US-based social media companies such as Meta and Google.
They've been very concerned about the impact and the significance of this company. It really certainly is the first social media platform from outside of the US that's risen to the same size and reach and power as the US social media incumbents.
That's because, she says, it threatens a kind of comfortable dominance that they have of the social media market.
We've sort of seen the US incumbents compete a little bit, but really carve out spaces for themselves to be successful and to consolidate their power in technology markets. And TikTok has come along and challenged that. And TikTok's really pushed them to develop their services by introducing reels and whatnot. But none of them have been able to do it as successfully as TikTok so far.
And right now, their concerns are echoed by the current US administration.
There is quite a bit of hostility towards TikTok from the American bureaucracy and both administrations from both sides because of the threat or because of it being a Chinese platform and the belief that that somehow makes it a threat to the US, either strategically or economically.
Part 3. Blocked.
The US isn't the only country that's concerned about TikTok's or rather China's reach.
The first country that issued a nationwide ban, and one that actually persists till today, is India in June 2020.
Our third witness is Anupam Chanda, a law professor at Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. in the US.
This was in the wake of some battles between Indian soldiers and Chinese soldiers in the Himalayas. And India responded with what the minister called a digital strike, removing a swath of Chinese apps from the Indian landscape.
India's move was followed by other countries shutting down the service totally, including Nepal, Senegal, and Somalia. While elsewhere, Anupam says, its use is prohibited on government devices.
Countries like Canada, France, the UK, and Taiwan, which is, of course, at China's doorstep. But those countries did not ban TikTok for private devices.
And each of those countries cited data security concerns among their reasons for banning the app.
TikTok has access to the normal data that social media apps have access to, which is how you're using the app, your searches on the app, what you're looking at on the app, what you share on the app, what you message on the app. And so if those hold information that might compromise perhaps national security secrets about the government or corporate secrets about your business, then that potentially could be a threat to national security.
And their concerns were echoed late last year by the US Supreme Court when it rejected a challenge to the law that Congress had passed.
In fall of 2024, TikTok and TikTok users challenged the TikTok divestiture law, saying that it interfered with their freedom of speech, TikTok's freedom of speech as a US corporation, and TikTok users' freedom of speech as Americans. The Supreme Court decided the case, ruling in favor of the government. Because of the national security concerns that the government had expressed about TikTok's ability to gather information, that espionage that might be possible through the app.
Talk of espionage takes us a long way from cute cat videos, makeup tutorials, and the latest viral dance craze. But Anupam points out, as with many social media companies, TikTok can read a lot about us from how we use the app.
TikTok knows your scrolling behavior, how long you spend on any particular piece of content. These are short videos, 15 seconds. It can be longer, but if you watch a whole minute, it knows that you watched the whole minute. It knows what kind of stuff you're interested in, what kind of stuff captivates you. It also knows, of course, what you are sharing with the world. So if you post stuff on the app, it knows what you're posting on the app. If you direct message people, it can probably read your direct messages. So these are things that are typical of many social media enterprises. And so this is the kind of data that TikTok has. TikTok doesn't collect your exact GPS information in the United States. It doesn't ask for that information. It does not have the capability to have that. But it can figure out your approximate location, because if your IP address, that's your address on the internet.
And depending on how quickly we whiz through those terms and conditions, clicking yes on those pop-ups that appear when we first download the app, it can also go even deeper into our devices.
It gets access to what you have given it access to your photos, your videos, your contact list, if you choose to.
In the US, TikTok has tried to respond to its critics with a proposal called Project Texas.
Project Texas is the name that TikTok gave to a plan to mitigate the national security concerns of the United States by hiving off Americans' data and storing it in America, in servers, perhaps in Texas, for example, and under the control of an American company, the company there being Oracle, which has elaborate defense contracts and therefore is kind of a trusted American company. The only data that can flow outside would not be user data, for example, that is your browsing behavior or your searches on TikTok, but rather the stuff that a user would like to see, which is my videos. That's what Project Texas is trying to assure the American government will remain in America.
Project Texas is still just about running. But by the final months of the Biden administration, as competition with China was hotting up, it was looking less and less appealing as a solution.
Any connection to China became really very difficult for American politicians to abide. Project Texas was very hard to explain to American people. There's always the queasy sense that, am I totally sure that it's working? All those kinds of concerns.
And that led to where we are today, with yet another deadline looming for a law that threatens to close down US TikTok entirely.
Part 4. The fate of TikTok.
So much is up in the air at this point, but I think one thing is clear. Time is very much up for TikTok as we know it.
Our fourth witness is Isabella Wilkinson, a research fellow at Chatham House, an independent policy institute based in London in the UK.
On the one hand, we could see a forced US sale. We could see a ban. So to put it simply, TikTok would go dark. It would be unable to operate in the US. Or we could see a third option, or perhaps I should say a fourth option, because it would be the fourth of such extensions of deadline.
As we heard at the beginning of the programme, President Trump has started to acknowledge the complexity of these negotiations. And he says he's open to extending TikTok's deadline yet again. But say a sale does go through, who might become the new owner of TikTok in the US?
It's an incredibly colourful lineup of buyers, and over the past few months, we've enjoyed seeing everything from formal statements to rumours as to who is on the docket. Oracle does seem like a top contender. They already run and operate lots of TikTok's US-based infrastructure. But we're also seeing some unusual buyers. For example, one of the Shark Tank representatives being involved in a people's bid for TikTok. We see traditional big tech looking to throw their hat into the ring, the likes of Microsoft and Amazon. Elon Musk earlier this year was rumoured to be in on the lineup of potential buyers. And then finally, a collection of individuals ranging from a former US Treasury Secretary to Mr. Beast, a social media influencer.
But buying the company will only be the first step. TikTok's new owners will then have to decide how it even functions. As we heard from our first witness, China's unlikely to allow ByteDance to hand over to a US company the algorithm that powers that all-important For You page on the site.
For You, which basically shows users personalized content. This is TikTok's money-making head. What will happen to this incredibly lucrative For You page, and specifically its algorithm, is a point of interest.
Nor is she convinced that putting the company into US hands would solve those problems that led to Congress passing that law in the first place.
TikTok operates in an increasingly polluted information space.
Can nation states ever protect themselves, really, from, for example, disinformation or data leakage?
I don't think that a complete protection against disinformation is possible. You can't have a complete bulletproof armor against attempts to interfere in the safety, security, and democratic integrity of a country. But what you can have is an effective response. And we can learn from countries, for example, in the Baltics, like Estonia, for example, who really understand the importance of a whole of society response when it comes to dealing with foreign information threats, ranging from things like building media literacy, ranging from things like educating different parts of society what their responsibility is in the event of, say, an information attack, disinformation, cyber attack.
And she doubts that just changing the ownership of TikTok in the US will be enough.
Would bringing it under US control be a fix-all to these long-standing concerns that the US has when it comes to China, these long-standing US interests in maximizing safety, national security, preventing the weaponization of data? Or would it be akin to leaving the front door locked but keeping an upstairs window open?
So to return to our question, is time up for TikTok in the US? It certainly looks likely, but maybe not yet. President Trump has said he's open to a fourth extension to the sale deadline. But when it is finally sold, TikTok's new US owners, whoever they are, will have a big challenge on their hands, especially if that magic algorithm stays in China. How to give its users access to the rest of the world while protecting their data from falling into the hands of bad actors. Unless those competing demands are met, TikTok's fate in the US remains uncertain. A final word from our first witness, Alan Rosenstein.
So I just think we have to assume that TikTok is, for the foreseeable future, going to continue in this, I sometimes call it Schrodinger's TikTok, the quantum phenomenon of being in two states at once, where TikTok is both banned in the United States, but from a day-to-day basis is perfectly operational.
This inquiry was presented by me, David Baker. The producer was Matt Toulson. The researcher was Maeve Schaffer. The editor was Louise Clark. And the technical producer, James Bradshaw.